We start with the next talk about file format interoperability. That's a bit difficult, different from that what Michael did with the collaboration of offices. And now we are collaborating on the file format with different file formats. And Thorsten Behrens is working for SUSE now, and he is involved in OpenOffice, ODF, since years. I don't know how long. Maybe he can tell us.
Is that on or is that not on?
Yeah.
Okay. I forgot how many years it is. It's quite a few. Thanks for the introduction. Welcome to the final talk today here. I don't have so very many slides, but I have quite some words about that. This is more about the philosophy of the project rather than the technicalities. What we have when we look around is a staggering amount of different files with different data and different importance. And sometimes people sitting on those for 10 years or 20 years for regulatory reasons, because they had to, back in the day, they had to save those together with their accounting stuff or whatnot. So there's a staggering amount of files out there, some very old, some rather new. And as a project, our philosophy is probably described with the subtitle here. We want to be this legacy document conversion powerhouse. So we want to be the application that you go, that you use when you have some random email attachment that you can't open, or some random legacy format from 20 years ago. In your safe or on your parents' hard disk that you want to read. That said, of course, LibreOffice breathes and lives and is based on, and of course we promote that open standard, so that's ultimately where we want to move all data into. Of course, to do that, we have to read them in the first place. And we face, as I said, we face the fact that the world is really full of really crazy documents and crazy formats. Well, yeah, we do want to read them, and we aspire to convert them as best as possible. And when there's something that we can't read, we find someone to implement the filter. And if there's something that we can't faithfully represent, we first emulate that, and then we try to enhance ODF to make that possible. Ultimately, what we want to do is we want to liberate the data that's there and make it and keep it accessible to as many people as possible and as many on many platforms as possible. For some formats, we also provide write support for a number of reasons. That might be actually a bit controversial, because one could make the argument that since we want to ultimately have all the data in open formats, why not just read everything and simply write ODF? Well, the fact is that the world is not as simple as that. And if we would be doing that, we would be probably cutting ourselves off from a completely different set of opportunities. One is this area of reading or being able to access all the data that's there. And the other set, this project is of course going after, is to be to bring everyone or to facilitate people to operate on an open source stack. And until the point when the whole world is really able to read and write open formats, we face the fact that some people are there that just can't read them or don't want to read them. And specifically in the market that we live in the office productivity market, there's this very small, tiny little problem that there's a rather large company that lots of people and their products, lots of people use them. And so we face the fact that we are relatively small in comparison, like with the number of people that are using our software. And we face a larger, big number of people who would just shrug and return the mail or dump the mail. So for a number of formats and for a number of reasons, we do provide write support, and those are the formats typically that are central to the program or to the applications that we offer, which is the core Office formats. So, just a rather random list of formats that we are currently able to read. Some rather arcane ones like MathType or Quattro Pro, or for some markets not so arcane, this T602. I think that's a, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's a Czech company, or was a Czech company, and the word processing application. Some rather large set of image formats, both vector and pixel based. Rather happy to list this Microsoft Visio there, because that's a rather recent addition. That's the two heroes of the project who did that in collaboration with a brilliant reverse engineering guy, and they were able to implement a library that's also used by other projects by now, which is able to import Visio documents, the old binary Visio format, which is still in quite widespread use, and lots of clip arts actually are in that format. And those, that was quite widespread use when it came to org chart drawing and network architecture painting and all of that. So that's actually even in the tech community, that lots of files there. currently in the works, so the CorelDRAW, that's in the upcoming 3.6. Microsoft Publisher is an ongoing Google Sum of Code project, all with the same people that did the Visio stuff. So that would be great. The publisher that's in the early stages, I would assume that's going into 3.7 and or 4.0. It's unclear how we proceed there. I mentioned that what we write is pretty much what's core to the application. So if you want to collaborate on something, so there's legacy stuff that you just probably want to read and then print it or convert it to ODF and be done with it. But if you want to collaborate with other people, if you want to write someone, write a contract with someone, or write I don't know, apply for a job or write a paper for some journal, chances are that you need to send documents back and forth, and for that reason, and it's actually the Microsoft binary formats, that's been the very first thing that got implemented 20 years ago when Stardew Vision started with the first foreign filter implementation. So that's, we consider that kind of core functionality, and we don't believe we're yet in a situation that we could, as a project, live without them. The where's this? Here. The ones here, that's basically third-party code. That's just code that works. So there's no reason not to use that as a project. We welcome code that works rather neutrally. We don't believe so much in those hidden agendas. So if there's code that works and people are happy with that, then we tend to include it. Those vector formats and the lots of bitmap formats that I didn't list there are simply because they are embedded typically in other documents. So we need write support for them as well. What I didn't list is a vast number of open formats that we already support in both reading and writing. First and foremost, of course, SVG. There's ongoing effort now, finally, after quite a few years of stagnation, to really improve on that and that, get this up to par with other, like, for example, browsers. Which brings me to another area that needs ongoing work, which is the Open Document format, which we use to, that's the native, the very native format of LibreOffice and previously OpenOffice. The whole format originated from this very project. It was a kind of homegrown XML format before that then got reviewed, worked with, improved some more, rewritten at Oasis, and eventually became ODF. But this has to evolve as well. So while initially back in 2002, the feature set was like this, now the feature set of the applications is like that. And meanwhile, SVG evolved as a very, very powerful format for vector graphic interchange. And it's also, in larger areas, a superset of what's possible in ODF. So one of the ongoing works is to align, especially SVG and ODF, with each other. There have been steps into that direction already, but we're far from done here. And on the other hand, there's input from the other document format, mostly the Office document formats where features are in there that are, we could load and save there, but we can't, at least not faithfully in ODF. And that's also an ongoing work to align those areas and fill the gaps there inside ODF. And I think two talks earlier, you've heard Svante talk about the work that's ongoing regarding change tracking and collaboration. So there are two or three larger areas at Oasis currently that are worked on, and this interoperability and compatibility with other significant standards is one of them. that's roughly what I wanted to tell you. Just a laundry list of random facts from Oasis. And the question to the audience, if you have any input on that, if you have experience, stories to tell. For example, this nice story of people that I keep hearing, that they got this really damaged doc file that they couldn't open, and there was their diploma thesis in there, and then they got the, well, back in the day, open office, and nowadays they got LibreOffice, and from their friends, and they were able to open that and save it again, and they were saved. And that's also something we're kind of aspired to and are slightly proud of, that we are less strict and don't reject stuff. We try hard to import as much and as good as possible, rather than just rejecting the document because there's a bit kind of wrong or some checksum is not correct. So,
someone who wants to ask questions or...
We had a nice chat with Frederick back there in the room about another interesting thing that's happening in the ODF ecosystem, which is some attempt to come up with thorough test suites like other standards have as well. Maybe you want to tease out a comment from me by asking me a nasty question.
Well, I just can say that I'm looking forward to have some official tests, so which could be run against all kind of ODF producers or more of the producers as the consumers, to see, or maybe even the consumers were wondering, to see how good they are in understanding the ODF and, you know, also writing the ODF, that they're doing this compliant to the spec, which is currently not completely the case. At least what is their outcome.
Yeah, it's even something to I mean that's a thought to think. Once you have a test suite, well, you can say something about the level of support that you have or that you would require. Yeah, it's a nice, very nice and supportable initiative. Yeah, there's a very non-linear and rather chaotic behavior, especially of text documents, when it comes to it's extremely non-linear when it comes to line breaks and page breaks. So it's sufficient to have one pixel difference in line width to have completely different layout. Well, there's some way to go to get there, clearly. So the best bet, of course, is to have one application, exactly the same version, definitely. I don't know are you referring to Swantes' talk? I don't know. I didn't attend that. So there's some scale in there between offline change tracking and merging and real-time collaboration. There's a range, and you can have useful steps in this range. You don't have to say, well, I want either that or that. There's useful scenarios in the middle. But yeah, it's, I mean, but don't you love a challenge? I mean, well, I agreed. I mean, it's hard to get right, especially when it comes to merging. And it's probably even harder to get right interoperable between different, completely different applications. True. So the process at Oasis looks like that. You can, as the general public, can send commands. There's a commons, Office Commons list at Oasis. So if you just ask your favorite search engine for Office Commons on the Oasis site, you should get the link. Substantial submissions to Oasis have to happen through members. But I think for your project, I know that the project is a member. So that you would just poke your the people in your project and have them draft the proposal, and they then send that to Oasis. Reason for that is IP. So whatever you send to Oasis, you surrender, more or less surrender all rights on that, and you promise not to sue anyone for patents and stuff like that.
That may be a bit German center question, but there was this Migrationsleitfaden from the federal public.
Yes.
There was a bit of critics about LibreOffice and compliance to standards. Has there been any communication before the release of this document with you? Or?
No, there hasn't been. And, well, yes, that's an interesting question that gives me the opportunity to talk a bit about that if I have five more minutes. So there's a constant challenge between writing something that's 100% what's in the standard, which is, I mean, if we're talking about the ISO standard, that's some 6 years old, versus to be able to store what your user has typed just a second ago and not lose it because you just can't represent it. So there's a tension between those two poles. And in fact, LibreOffice has a configuration option. You can switch it to save into strictly conformant ODF 1.1, which is the ISO standard. Well, the catch is you might lose a few things. It's not that somehow suddenly all the pictures are missing or the text is not there, but there might be subtle things that are simply not representable or that have to be emulated. So you save something and in the worst case, you just get a bitmap from a very carefully crafted vector graphics that you just did. But since it can't be represented in 1.1, you just get some broken down, low quality emulation of that. So given the fact that ODF is the native format of LibreOffice, there's no way out of this dilemma. So either we say, well, we just leave ODF, we save some random XML and it's not ODF, and then you have export to ODF. But fortunately, the standard permits some in-between. So what you can do is you can extend ODF as long as you don't use the ODF XML namespace. So you don't claim this is true, standardized, proper Oasis ODF. But you can extend it with your own markup, save extra attributes, extra information. And that's what we do, and that's what everybody else does as well. And I think it's a good it's a good thing to do, as long as you at the same time try to get this new stuff into the next ODF standard. Because, and that's another interesting, I mean, I very much like this attitude, and it's an OASIS policy to not standardize something that doesn't have at least three independent implementations. So even you can't have something standardized at OASIS that's not already written by someone or used by someone. So it's actually more or less mandated by OASIS to do it like that, or something like that. And with this Migrationsleitfaden, I think most of those issues are solvable. Some of them are bugs, some of them are just unfortunate, and most of that at the end of the day, it's just software. You can solve pretty much every problem that you have if you really want to.
So whoever did these tests have it done on their own. They have not collaborated with the implementations of the software with you.
Although I didn't. Well, I'm not actually expecting them to. I mean, that's what happened if you do a study. They just lock the people up in a room for half a year and only let them out when the study is done. And because they're afraid of kind of people sweet talking them into something. Okay. And that's at least my experience from other studies that I've heard about, that there was zero, or very little, if any, interaction with the project.
Okay. And so you have not approached them afterwards to discuss it?
Personally, I didn't, but I'm rather certain that project participants have asked
okay.
them. Or that.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Good question.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you, Thorsten. Yeah, I think we have overtime.
I don't know. If we have time for one last question, I'm not
Maybe.
Speaking you out.
If someone has a last question.
Or the very last question. If not, thanks so much for listening. Have a great remaining time in Berlin. And potentially see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Okay.